Okay, open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. And we're going to continue on with our adventure through covenants here. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, that is a new word. For these guys, huh? What's wrong? Oh. For these guys, it was a new word. Remission was not something that they were used to dealing with. They were used to dealing with atonement. And they were this whole new covenant thing that Jesus was talking to these people about must have just been blowing them completely away. But anyway, the thing about the remission, the remitting blood, it's talked about in the New Testament 9 times. Now, always remember, in the Old Testament, we have types and shadows of Jesus. We have types and shadows of what he did and things to come in there. And one of the interesting things was, you heard about the scapegoat, haven't you? Well, that came from the Bible. The scapegoat was a goat. When somebody sinned, they took these 2 goats up to the high priest. High priest would examine the one and sacrifice him, take his blood, which was representing the sins of the man, lay hands on the scapegoat, and they'd take that goat with that man's sins, and they'd head east. And they'd go east out to a desert place, and that goat was never, ever to be seen again. So we say that your sins, when you get born again, you get a remission of sins. That's not just a covering. That means a complete washing away. That means your sins have been taken as far away from you as the east is from the west. Yeah, forgiveness of sins. But this is remission of sin. What happens with the blood of Jesus? You get remission of sin. It means a complete washing away. And that's forgiveness. But you get these sins remitted, they're gone. We have these souls. And we have habits of going back in our past and remembering our sins. That's a sin conscience. And God does not want us to have a sin conscience. What we have to do is we have to become fully persuaded that we have been completely forgiven. When we get born again, sometimes we got some baggage. And sometimes people have a real hard time understanding that they are completely forgiven. And sometimes they'll think maybe that there's some things that they did in their past, maybe they can't ever be completely forgiven of that. If there's ever anything that the blood of Jesus couldn't conquer, we would be toast. All of us, immediately. The blood of Jesus conquered every single sin. The only sin that can't be taken care of is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And that's where you literally deny Jesus of being your Savior. You don't ever accept Him to be your Lord and Savior. God can't do anything about that. You've made your free will choice to not enter this covenant. But the thing about this remission of sins is your sins get completely washed away, all the way, so that you can have a righteousness conscience. Righteousness means that you're in right standing. You're in right standing with God. That means anything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now, sometimes you may have to just sit there and fight with the recollection of a certain sin. The devil will try to remind you of that sin. Say, how do you think you're forgiven of that? And you may feel bad. You're going to have to sit there and say, no, I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You may have to say that over and over and over again, but you have to become fully persuaded that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you have been washed in the blood, that you're clean. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, these are things that we have to become fully persuaded of so that we can receive the things that God wants us to receive. See, if we have a guilt, sin conscience, it's going to be very hard for us to receive the things of God. So what is the difference between that Old Testament blood of animals that atoned for sin and the new covenant blood of Jesus that reconciled and remitted? Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the consistency, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come and a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See, the Old Testament was about the flesh. But the New Testament is about the inner man. Remember, Paul said, he was talking to some Christians, he said, don't worry about those circumcised people that are talking to you about the circumcision. They're talking about the circumcision of the flesh. The circumcision of the heart is what you need to be concerned about. The heart. It's the circumcision of our heart. Our hearts need to be born again. Need to be brought back to life. That's the very inner part of our very being. The very center of us is our heart. That's what we need to have washed in the blood. And the minute you say, Jesus be my Lord, guess what happens? You get washed in the blood and you get a new heart. Your old heart was dead. Your spirit was dead. But the minute you said, Jesus be my Lord, your spirit came back to life. I've seen this several times. I've witnessed to people, they'd have a dead countenance to them. It'd be kind of weird, and I'd talk to them, and they'd end up getting born again, and I'd see them a few days later, and they'd have a glow. They would glow. I've seen it a lot, and I thought, I watched it, and I said, well, I know something happened in their heart, because now it's coming outside. It's coming out of them now. That's that anointing you get. There's a special anointing that comes with God moving inside of you. It's called life. It's called life. And it's actually the Zoe kind of life. And we can experience more and more of that Zoe kind of life. In fact, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have that more abundantly. He's talking about that Zoe life, that God kind of life. That's the kind of life that he wants us to have. That's part of this covenant. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. You know, something Jesus had always been in the presence of his Father. Always. And then God sent him down here, and he was found in the flesh as a man. The blood of God walking around in the flesh of man. And I think Jesus was excited because he got to be with his creation again. He got to be right there with them. I don't think he was, when he was teaching, I don't think it was treachery to him. I think he had a smile and he was showing them some things. You know, these guys mentioned the fig tree to him and they said, this thing is dead. And he said, yeah. He said, you can do that. He said, whosoever shall believe and not doubt in his heart shall say unto this fig tree, be cast into the sea. Guess what? I think he was having a lot of fun teaching his creation what he had given them. He had been separated from them for a long time. They couldn't come into his presence anymore. But the thing about Jesus, when he was at the Rock of Gethsemane and he was praying and he started sweating blood, he was under immense pressure. Because for the first time ever, he was going to be completely separated from his Father. And see, he wasn't getting separated because he did something wrong. He was getting separated because we did something wrong. He had to take our place. If there's ever anything that Jesus didn't do, we would have to do it. But he did it all. And all we had to do is just accept him, receive him. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Remember that. In the Old Testament, the high priests, when they were in the temple, they had to stand. Do you know, out of all the furniture that they had in the temple, or in that place, you know, none of it was made for sitting down on. They had to stand up and be working all the time when they were in there. But Jesus, when he went in and cleaned his temple, he sat down at the right hand of God. And the Bible tells us that we've been seated in Christ. You know, when you're sitting down, you're not working. You're resting. We're supposed to rest in Him. You know, they talk about that rest. We go into His presence to find rest. We go into His presence to find healing. We go into His presence to find strength. But the thing of it is we can go into His presence because of the blood of Jesus. And we can go into His presence any time of any day. In the Old Testament, nobody but the high priest could go into His presence, and only once a year. And everything had to be absolutely perfect, or he was toast. If his garment was a little bit wrong, or if he had made a mistake, if there was something wrong about him, and he went into the presence of God, if he went into the presence of God on the wrong day, it was over. The high priest could only go in once a year. But us, thank you, Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, we can go in there all the time. And in fact, that's where we're supposed to be. We're not separated from Him anymore. If God seems like He's a million miles away, it's because we wandered off. But He always wants us in His presence. In fact, He wants us to run to Him. He wants us to call Him Abba Father. Abba means daddy. He wants us to have a personal relationship, personal fellowship with Him. You know, He designed His way of doing things, and He set it up in the garden. And evidently, He used to talk to Adam in the garden and they'd go on a walk. He had that one-on-one fellowship with Adam. That's what He wanted. That never changed. Just because Adam got kicked out of the garden, that did not stop God's desire to have one-on-one fellowship with His people. He still wanted that, but He couldn't. So for thousands of years, men went through all kinds of different routines and traditions and religions and all kinds of different ideas on trying to get back in the presence of God, and they never could accomplish that. that never could. God had to get in our presence. And he did it with Jesus. He sent his word. And his word healed us. His word became seed of God. His word became the body of Jesus. His word. See, that's why his word is alive. And his word got Jesus on this earth. Through a covenant with a man. See how cool these covenants are once we start looking at them and start understanding what these are and how they work and what comes about with these covenants. Once you start getting a hold of the power of these things and start understanding them, man, it can be life-changing for some people. Now, he took away that first covenant in order to establish the second one. You know, there's a lot of people running around today that don't want to let go of that first covenant. They want to hang on to the law. And then we get a group that try to blend the two together. And that won't work either. They call it balance. Jesus calls it mixture. And he doesn't want nothing to do with that. And they do it kind of in an innocent way. You know, they'll run around, they'll get people born again, they'll say, you're saved by grace. Which is true. You are saved by grace. But then they'll get them into church and say, okay, now here's these 5 or 10 things that you have to do to get to heaven. And the list is sometimes as absurd as the idea. I had one preacher tell me one time that you cannot possibly be a Christian if you're not a Mason. That's foolish. Then sometime later on, after I had finally gotten grounded in the Bible and got to doing some stuff, got to witnessing to some stuff, I witnessed to a lady, she got born again, she was in jail, and she got born again. And she was supposed to be doing 10 years. But we prayed for her to have mercy and grace in that situation, and she was out within a week. Well, she got married. And she called me crying one day, completely brokenhearted. I said, what is wrong? She said, this preacher told me, I don't get to go to heaven because I don't speak in tongues. I said, what? This is what he told her. I said, so I had to go back, talk to her about that day in jail when we went through Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10. We talked about what happened, how she got born again. She got her head back on straight again, and she went on and made it. But see what happens? You're born again because you believe God raised Jesus back to life and you confessed him to be Lord. It's all about the blood of Jesus and what he did on that cross for you and his death, burial, and his resurrection. It's all about him. There's never not one single thing that you could possibly ever do to cause yourself to be saved. This is a verse that I grabbed a hold on real early. It says, you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus that's more precious than silver and gold. And the Holy Spirit got that in my heart early on. And he let me understand that there's nothing that is so valuable that I could possibly ever do that could cause me to be saved. It's only the blood of Jesus. It's only Him. He is our Savior. We cannot earn our salvation. We cannot earn our righteousness. We cannot work our way to heaven. All we can do is believe on Him. But He got rid of the old covenant and He put us into the new covenant. This was to open the way for us to enter into the holiest with boldness as God's own children, as priests and kings. See, they didn't always call this Christianity. Did you know that? They used to call this the way. They called it the way. Did you ever wonder why they called it the way? Because the way to the Father was only through Jesus. And none of us could go into the holiest of holies until He went there and purged it with His own blood. Why would the Holy of Holies have to be purged with the blood of Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Why would the Holy of Holies have to be cleaned by the blood of Jesus? Because Satan was in there. People don't like to hear that. Satan had access to God. We didn't. Because Adam gave what we had to him. Satan took his place. Satan could go into the presence of God, not us. We were cast out. When in the book of Job, it talks about Satan going up to the throne and talking to God. Our place. We were supposed to be the ones talking to God, not him. He had already been cast out of heaven. He had been kicked out of the presence of God. And then he usurped what Adam had and took it. And then Adam couldn't go into the presence of God no more. Isn't that something? So finally, Jesus came down here. He fixed what Adam did wrong. He took from Satan what Adam gave up, gave it back to us, made the way to the presence of the Father clean and straight. Now we go through Him to the presence of the Father. That's why He says, pray in the name of Jesus. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Now we go boldly into the throne room of grace because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Is there any part of that that you think that you could perform on your own? Then just praise God and don't frustrate the grace of God by trying to earn the grace of God. You can't. Grace is that undeserved, unmerited favor. All we can do is receive it. Amen? Okay, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that Jesus did for us. Father, we thank you that He cleared the way for us to go into your presence. And Father, because of 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. So we just thank you for this, because that's even more work that we can't do. We can only believe on Jesus for it. And Father, we thank you for meeting our needs. And Father, once again, I thank you. I thank you for this election turning in our favor. Father, I can't thank you enough. I do ask you to keep your hand on this house race and cause this to happen in our favor too. Father, we believe we could live in a world without wars, without famines. We can live in a world in peace. We can live in a world where we're not plundering another country's resources. We can live in a world where there's plenty for everybody. Father, I ask you for this. I ask you to lead us to this place. In Jesus' name, amen.